job comes in, and you put some goodies in there and send it to a child somewhere, make their day. There'll also be literature put in there that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ when they open their shoebox. Well, I have a testimony from, and also have them back here by next Sunday, because either next Sunday or Monday, I got to take them over to a church in Pinckneyville, and Monday would be the last possible time for me to take them. So have them back here by next Sunday or Monday, and I will take the field ones back over to Pinckneyville. Here's a testimony from somebody who received the shoebox. His parents gave him a name that praises the Lord. God's love expressed through an Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift taught him more about the one who is faithful. His name was Marvelous. Marvelous ran for his life when there was gunfire erupting. He and his family were trying to flee their homeland in Central Africa, where Christians were being persecuted for their faith. As they boarded a crowded bus together, their family heard gunfire, running in the opposite direction of his family. Then, the six-year-old boy, the youngest of four children, was separated from his family. The little boy with the big name was called Marvelous because his mother wanted to praise God for how he had already helped her family through many struggles. Amid the violence and religious persecution in their country, work was hard to come by and food was very scarce. Yet no struggle seemed as frightening as not knowing what had happened to their son during this gunfire. Thankfully, the family's prayers were answered as he returned the following month. They praised God for his faithfulness when they reunited with Marvelous, who had been sent to an orphanage along with other children who had also fled the gunfire. My mom ran up to me, hugged me, and said, "We thought we'd lost you," but she believed that God was in control. The family resettled in another part of the country, but Marvelous's parents found it difficult to secure work, and they couldn't afford to send their children to school. Every day was a struggle to buy food. His father and brothers were looking for jobs, but my mom and dad always said, "God will provide. You can pack a shoebox." At age 8, Marvelous received an Operation Christmas Child shoebox at church. He was elated to receive school supplies in his shoebox, calling it an answer to God through all the prayers that were sent his way. He loved to write and draw, so he was especially thankful for the notebooks, pens, and pencils that he received. "God hears the cries of his children," said Marvelous, who is now a 22-year-old college student in Charlotte, North Carolina. His shoebox gave him hope. Still today, I think that it was a message, a gift from God. These precious shoeboxes share the love of Christ with children all over the world. A special letter was packed in his shoebox, and it continues to remind Marvelous of God's faithful care. Even now, many years later, it read, "No matter where you are, just know that God loves you, no matter what you are doing or going through in your life. Wherever God leads him, Marvelous plans to continue to cling to the Lord's promises for his children." So that's just a testimony from a child in Africa that received the shoebox. So what you're doing is very important. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam, and thank you for everybody who is supporting that and buying things for their shoebox. Appreciate that. Before we start praying, I've had a thought ringing in my mind all week, and usually that means that it's a word for somebody. And Lord, that you would bring them in, that you would open up blind eyes, you would capture hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you that there is a river, your word says, that makes glad the city of God. That even in the midst of uncertainty, Lord, we can have peace and we can have joy. Lord, I pray joy on your people this morning. Your joy for the spirit of heaviness. Lord, your comfort. Your peace for anxiety and fear. Your love that casts out all fear. Lord, we come. We thank you that you are our shepherd. The promises is that we shall not want. You provide provision, leadership, counsel. We thank you, Lord, that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. We thank you, Father, that you do not slumber nor do you sleep, that you are Emmanuel, that you are with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one who sheds abroad the love of Jesus in our heart. And I pray that you would come and you do that among your people today. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. You are worthy. You are holy. You are good. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. We pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. going to make me do what I want to do, but God's going to strengthen me to do it, and I'm going to be great when I do it. And that is not the context of this passage, the scripture. And one of the things about Bible study is that we have to understand the context before we appropriate and we apply that scripture. And you all know this. I love the book of Revelation, but one of my major pet peeves is when we come up with interpretations that the people, when they first got that letter, that if they didn't understand our application, or we've missed the point. And that is one of the huge lessons here. What is the context of this promise? And there's another one down there at the end as well. And so, what is the context of this? And what is the promise for us? It's a beautiful, beautiful promise for all of us in this, especially in these uncertain days. So here we are, Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Here it is. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Heard that promise before? To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This letter was written in the context of thanking the Philippians for their gift. And it is kind of a strange thank you, isn't it? He's writing them and he's saying, this is the end of his letter, and he's saying, thank you. You have sent me a gift, and I'm incredibly thankful. And verse 10, he says, I rejoice greatly that now at length you've revived your concern for me. And jump down to verses 14 through 18. He's saying, you sent me a gift, and you sent me more than one gift. And he's thankful for that. And I haven't heard anybody here say it, but I've heard other people say this, that, well, giving is just an Old Testament concept. That's Old Testament. We don't have to give anymore. And that's the law. We don't have to give. And that's not true. And one of the things that I just want to commend you all in, as we had church conference last week, we worship unto the Lord. And he's worthy of it. And he's promised to bless us in it. It's a blessing to be able to give. And Paul uses this image in verse 18. He says, the gifts you have sent, they are a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And in Revelation chapter 5, when the lamb around the throne, what are they saying? They're saying, worthy is the lamb to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. He's worthy to receive all of our wealth. And we tend to hoard it and hide and think, well, I earned it, it's mine. No, God gave you that ability to earn it. And it's a worship unto him. Give it as unto him. And I love the, and you all have been there in Liberia, you all have seen it, the offerings, often when they gather in Africa, they dance when they bring up their offering, because it's a worship unto him. It's joy unto him. It's fragrance unto him. In the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, is we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, and we surrender. That's our worship unto the Lord, and our worship is our giving. Our worship is surrender. Our worship is giving him all that we have, and it's a gift, and he's worthy of it. It's worship unto him, and Paul says it's a fragrant offering. It's pleasing to God. Paul exhorts these people. These promises are given in the context of giving. Verse 11. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation to be content. That is a profound statement, considering the Apostle Paul. Has his life been easy? When he became a Christian, was it all roses and prosperity and peace for him? No. Everywhere he went, there was opposition. The context of this letter, when he was ministering in Philippi, he and Silas were thrown into prison. It doesn't say Paul lamented. It doesn't say Paul complained about it. It doesn't say he grumbled about it. What does he do? Acts chapter 16. His eyes are focused on the Lord, and they are singing, they're worshiping unto the Lord. He has learned to be content. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I would contend this morning that we in America, if we are not the most, we are one of the most spoiled nations in the world. I've had the opportunity, and some of you have as well, to go overseas and see how other people live. I've been in the Ukraine in 1991, the summer before it fell. There was no food on the shelves. Water was very hard to get. There was no hot water. And for the first time in my life, I had to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. I had to pray for the Lord for food. And you kind of panic. You're like, but then you look at the people that were over there. The Ukrainian people are some of the most beautiful, the most kind, the most generous people I've ever met on the earth. So thankful, so generous, so kind. When I was in Morocco in 2004, dirt poor. They didn't even have toilets over there. They had no place to go to the bathroom. You had to go down where the donkeys were to be able to go to the bathroom. There was no running water, nothing like that. The most gracious. They fed us so well over there. We was like, we don't need to eat three meals a day. You know, we don't need to do that. But they knew that we did, and they gave us so much, but they were so thankful for what we had. The rate of depression, of anxiety, we're number one in the world in all of that. We have more stuff. All of us have a warm bed. All of us have hot water we can bathe in. All of us have food. All of us, we have everything we could possibly want. And yet, we're anxious. And we're fearful. And we're afraid. We become so spoiled. know what? The Lord takes it all away. We can lament. We can be sad about that. But we need to land, eventually land in the place where Job landed, that the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed. Lord, I'm going to trust you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But then how to be rich and how to abound. And whether we have nothing, whether we have plenty, Paul says, I know how to do both. And what's his secret? Well, hold on, I'm getting ahead of myself. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and need. Just think about that for a second. In all things and in everything, I've learned the secret. How can I abound? How can I be poor? What is the secret? What is his secret? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, y'all hear me? No matter what happens, the secret is, whether it's all taken away, we're brought low, or we abound, I can do all things, Paul said, through Christ, who strengthens me, who enables me, who empowers me, who makes me strong. The promise for David, David was crowned king, okay? He was king. But it took years for that to be made fully manifest. In those years, in that span of years, what is he doing? He's hiding in caves. Saul is trying to kill him. And yet he writes some of the most beautiful songs, some of the most beautiful poetry in the Bible. He wrote the book of Psalms, most of them, when he was running from Saul, when he had nothing, because his focus was on him. And he... And it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. We need to learn how to do that, especially in these days. If it gets to the point where we can't gather together and we can't, we thank God for technology, but how can we encourage ourselves in the Lord? Ask Holy Spirit, Lord, and I've talked about this. He will give you songs. Pay attention to the songs that the Holy Spirit will bring to mind. Hymns. Sometimes he'll... This is rare for me because I'm not, I cannot sing, although I have some musical ability. singing is not one of them, but sometimes I'll get a song, I'll get something, and it's like, Lord, that's so, I'm thankful I live by myself and it's just me and two cats, because if I, like April, that's not pretty, but you know, it's a new song, and it'll be a word, just a, usually it's comforting, but pay attention to the melodies, to the songs, because Holy Spirit will give you a song. Ask him, Lord, what are you saying right now? I've prayed that a lot, more than I probably ever have in the last 9 months. Lord, I need to know what you're saying right now. I need to know what is your word right now? What is your word for this circumstance? What is your word for this, for our nation? What do you say? And I will either walk. Lord talks to me a lot when I walk, because we need to be quiet, we need to be still, but sometimes walking is just, because that's a good way for me to get out anxiety, but we're all different, so just walking will sometimes speak to me. Recently, he's been talking to me a lot, Fran and I were talking about this, he talks to me a lot in the kitchen while I'm cooking. I will have read my Bible, and I'll read, and I'll take at least 10 minutes where it's like, Lord, I'm going to be silent. Lord, what is it you're saying? Just speak to me, and I'll be silent. Sometimes I'll put soaking music on. Sometimes he talks to me in that, but oftentimes he talks to me in the really mundane. When I'm cooking or vacuuming or just doing really mundane, pay attention to the thoughts that come in your mind. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And the Holy Spirit, one of his names is Paraclete, one who comes alongside. And he's with us. And he wants to speak to us. And he wants to encourage us. And we need to listen for his voice. Paul's secret is, I'm able to do all things. I can be brought low and I can have nothing. I can sing in a prison. I can do that. I can be wealthy. I can have I've learned the secret of faith facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That is his secret. Verses 16 through 18. What does it look like to be part of a body? Paul is talking about giving, supporting one another, giving. And so, and many of you have done that, people in need. We have programs here, Christmas boxes, doing things for other people, giving, helping financially. That's one thing. But another thing, it is in praying for each other. And Epaphroditus, that he mentions here, verse 18, I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Epaphroditus is mentioned in Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. He says, Epaphras, who's one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. He is always wrestling in his prayers on your behalf so that you may stand mature and fully assured in everything that God wills. Epaphras is one of those that's kind of the unsung heroes in the New Testament. He was a prayer. And when we can do nothing else, we
us for just running ahead and just spinning around in circles, Lord, like a dog, just being just so anxiety-filled, Lord. We're just not settling